Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker at 10 minutes after 9 a.m. We appreciate it, Courtney. We'll be talking to you coming up in about 30 minutes with another check on WWL traffic. Byron Garrity joins us now on WWL. He's a former IRS agent and a CPA with over 27 years experience in public accounting. And I wanted to have him join us from the North Shore this morning to talk to us as we wind down 2024. About what we can do to improve our tax situation as we look ahead to 2025, and if there's anything at this late date that we can still do to, well, maybe make it so we don't have to give Uncle Sam such a big chunk of change when we settle up coming up in the spring. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me on. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And to you too, Brian. We appreciate your being here with us. So as people are getting ready to wrap up 2024 and look ahead to 2025, what should they be doing from an accounting standpoint, from a tax standpoint, and to really best their financial situation?
Well, I think you hit it right. You know, right now for 2024, it is the wrap-up time. There's not a whole lot of time left. You know, we got today and tomorrow, so there's actually very little to do for the regular individuals. A lot of the things that we try to do start at the beginning of the year. Let's talk about 2024 and wrapping it up. We have a little bit of advantage this year. You know, we had some hurricanes come through Louisiana, and as far as making, you know, payments to the IRS, they were extended until February 3rd. So making any payments that we might owe the IRS and getting them in between now and February 3rd would make a big difference because you won't have penalties and interest on them. And I think if we look back a couple years ago, you know, the federal interest rates were very, very low. Now they're not. And people are very surprised, you know, when they say, hey, I used to pay about $25 in interest when I filed my return. And now it's $250 in interest. What's going on? And I'm going, well, the interest rates have really gone up, you know, so we don't want to lose money that way.
So if you, for whatever reason, cannot or do not pay your taxes on time, just because of the higher interest rates, those penalties are bigger than they've been in the past.
The interest rates are higher. That's it. And then some people make quarterly estimated tax payments, you know, so they divide the amount that they would owe by four, and they pay them in April and June and September, and then again in January. This gives them about an extra 2 weeks to make that payment. So if there was any good side to a hurricane, I guess that's it, is the extension of time to pay.
You know, under the current situation we face with tax reform over the last several years, things are different than they used to be. It used to be at the end of the year, people were looking to make charitable donations to try and better their tax position. They were looking for other opportunities if they itemized to be able to reduce their tax burden. But now with the vast, vast majority of Americans not itemizing anymore, those opportunities really are not as abundant, are they?
Yeah, they built them in is really, I think, the way to look at it. You know, you have to exceed $29,400 of itemized deductions for it to make sense. Your standard deduction for 2024 will be $29,400. So that's a high number for a lot of people. So even, you know, adding some of the property taxes and mortgage interest and things like that you have, some charitable contributions, if you're not going to be above that amount, then you do what's better for your taxes, which is you take the standard deduction. You know, for some people, the itemized deductions are still there. You know, so if you itemize last year and you itemize by a good bit, you can look at maximizing charitable contributions. We've got today and tomorrow to put those in. Make sure you write a check for those. Cash is not considered a charitable contribution. So we need to be able to document it with a check.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, years when I have higher medical expenses for my family, then there's more likelihood I can itemize. But I don't want those higher medical expenses. So I think I'd probably rather end up with a standard deduction. But it's a give and take for sure.
It is. And then, you know, if you do have regular medical expenses that come through, you look to your employer and see if they have a flexible spending account for you. You know, an MSA, an HSA, or a flexible spending account, because that allows you to take dollars, you know, reduce your pay, put dollars into that account, and pay for those medical expenses with a tax-free dollar.
Talking with Brian Garrity, a former IRS agent and a CPA with over 27 years of experience, helping us get ready for the end of the year. But probably more realistically, Brian, maybe we should be talking to people about how to start the new year and what to do in 2025 so that when we get to this time 365 days from now, they're already in a better tax position. So as we start talking about the new year, what can people do as 2025 begins to improve their tax position as we make our way through the year?
I think the first thing is to contact payroll where you work and make sure that your deductions are set up correctly. We don't want to get to the end of the year and find out that we owe. A little refund is generally good, but sometimes too big a refund is, you know, letting the government use your money for too long for no benefit. But I definitely think reviewing your W-4 and your L-4, if you live here in Louisiana, which is the amount of federal income tax withholdings and state income tax withholdings they'll take out of your pay, and making sure that it's set correct is critical. The other things while you're going through all that stuff with your HR department or your payroll department is, you know, look at your 401k. Are you making the contribution you should be making? You can up it if you're going to have a deductible 401k contribution. And we already mentioned some of the medical savings accounts. You know, maximize those. Those are great ways throughout the year with a little bit of money coming out of each check to really reduce your taxes.
Explain that a little further, because I think some people find those flexible spending accounts for medical, for childcare, for whatever is offered, sometimes seem bureaucratically very difficult to navigate. There's so much that you have to do to properly use that money. And how is it really a benefit to have that money tax-free up front in that account rather than dealing with it at the end of the year with the IRS?
The use of a tax-free dollar, you know, if we're talking about $10,000 of medical expenses and you're a moderate taxpayer, you know, you're going to pay 12% on that income, maybe up to 22%, somewhere in that range, you know, but just take 12%. That's $1,200. If you were able to put that, pay for that before taxes, you'd only spend $8,800 instead of $10,000, you know, getting it, because you'd have to pull the taxes out first. So it's just more efficient when the dollar isn't taxed. And all of these things are little steps to get to that, you know, that end result that we want, is which is a bigger tax savings. So if you're doing it on medical and you're planning your charitable contributions, if you do itemize, and you're investing in your 401k, at least to the amount of your company match, if not more, then all of those things add up to tax savings.
Talking about strategies for reducing your tax burden in 2025, as now we just have 2 days left in 2024. What other advice do you have for people in terms of getting ready for the next year and for navigating this coming tax season?
Well, in generally getting ready, you've got to have your documents together. Now, employers and companies, investment companies, banks will be sending out all of their 1099s and W-2s and all that information, usually right at the end of January. You know, some employers do get it out a week or two earlier, but it's usually January 31st is the deadline for the companies to file that and provide it to it. So most people see the bulk of those items come in, you know, the first week or two of February. I always say that, you know, tax season starts in Louisiana after March. So that seems to be when most people have most of their documents ready, or at least they're ready to look at them. But anything that you do need to gather right now, you know, your charitable contributions from your church, reviewing your bank statements so that you have the checks and documentation, you know, checking with your pharmacy if you think you might have enough to claim medical expenses, and go ahead and getting those printouts. So anything you can do ahead of the tax rush will relieve your stress.
You can't file your taxes. Well, some tax preparers will let you prepare your taxes early and anticipate what your burden or refund is going to be early. But the IRS every year sets a date when you can actually file. Do we know yet when that date's going to be in January that people can file their taxes?
It is usually right after Martin Luther King Day. Okay, it's like,
you know, last year was late. It was like January 29th last year.
Yeah, it was, and it all varies with changes in the tax law and them just kind of reprogramming the system, and then the federal government's one, the state of Louisiana is another, because they can be a few days or even a week or two behind the IRS when their system's ready to go.
So we will wait and see when that date will be. But typically it's somewhere mid to late January. And people who get a refund, well, they like to know that date because they really like to get that refund. You know, it's early, it's interesting. You were talking earlier about dealing with your payroll service or your HR department. You know, I know some people who will increase their withholding, not because they owed the previous year, but because they love getting a huge refund. To me, the perfect situation is I break even, that I owe them nothing and they owe me nothing at the end of the year, that Uncle Sam and I are square. But for the vast majority of people, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, on the economics, breaking even is what you want to do. If you're getting a large refund, they held on to too much of your money and really probably didn't pay you anything for it, you would have been better off putting that in your savings account. And then owing them, if it's a small amount, generally, hey, we're okay. But if we get into, you know, start to get into larger dollar amounts and they start with the charges of penalties and interest, the interest that they're charging right now, you can't earn in your regular savings account. So they're going to, you know, it doesn't really make sense to hold the money on your side. Pay as you go and make sure you're as close to that zero number as possible is the economics of it.
Yeah, but I think some people who may admittedly have a lack of self-control think it's better if the government holds their money than they do and gives it to them when they file their taxes. And I guess I understand that idea.
Yeah, I do too. It's a savings account. It just doesn't really have an interest rate on it, but it is a forced savings account. If you don't see it, it's hard to spend.
And most of us only make a few pennies off our savings accounts anyway, so I guess whatever. All right, when we come back, I want to talk to you about the changes in the Louisiana tax laws that we could be seeing in 2025. We'll find out more about that from Brian Garrity, a former IRS agent and a CPA, helping us get ready for 2025 and for tax season. And here on WWL, if you have any questions, you can call or text in at 504-260-1870 and ask your questions. It's rare you get this kind of a tax expert giving you free information and advice. So if you want to make use of Brian Garrity's information and expertise, call or text now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We'll answer your questions and more of mine after this on WWL. 9:26 on this second to last day of 2024. Yeah, it's December 30th already. So that's got some of us thinking about the year end and how it impacts our taxes and next year's taxes as well. People are texting in some questions for Brian Garrity, a former IRS agent and CPA with over 27 years experience here on WWL. One person says, "What if I haven't filed a couple of years of taxes? Where should I turn?"
That is a specialty a question, and typically you want to go to a tax resolution company. They can generally help you with any of the back year forms and things like that. And if it has been, you know, the last couple of years that aren't filed, there were some benefits that were probably missed. There were some stimulus payments and things like that that were linked to the tax returns during COVID. So I would want them to take a look as soon as they could and make sure they're not missing out on some potential refunds.
Yeah, and how far back, because somebody else texted, and I don't know if they're serious or not, but said, what do you do if you haven't filed for the last 20 years? How far back do you have to go? I know you only have to keep your records, 3 years now is what the IRS requires. It used to be 7. How far back do you go if you missed a few years? How far back do you have to go to make those up, do you know?
All right, well, this is going to be kind of a good news, bad news situation. Let's start off with the bad news. If you don't file a tax return, there is no time limit. The IRS can basically come back at any point in time because you never established a filing date. So it's just open, okay? They generally don't go back that far, and this would be the good news. They generally look at compliance being the last 6 years' worth of tax returns. So if you can catch up on the last 6, you can look at it. I have filed thousands and thousands and thousands of past year tax returns for people over the years. And one of the things I'm always astounded by is that there is always a fear there, but many people miss refunds. Okay. Because typically, if you're more than 3 years out on the filing of a tax return, the IRS doesn't have to pay you your refund amount. Okay, but if you owe more than 3 years ago, you do have to pay. It's not really fair, but yeah, it's the way the law is designed.
All right, so if they owe you, they only have to pay 3 years worth. If you owe them, it typically, it essentially could go back forever.
It could. Typically only six, but if they owe you, it's typically just three. If you owe them, it could go back to six.
All right. And because I know some people who expect small returns and just don't feel like dealing with it. Is there a penalty if you're owed money from the federal government and don't file?
Now, on the individual returns, it really there is no penalty if you're owed money. You just missed out on claiming your refund, and that's why after 3 years, the IRS just says we won't really deal with it. But I say file and get what you deserve. Follow the law, get what you deserve, and if that is a refund, make sure you've claimed it. It's your money at that point.
Someone else texted in and says, so we pay quarterly estimated tax and the next payment is due January 15th. But your expert just says that we have an extension with the IRS interest-free until February 3rd. Am I understanding that correctly?
It is. If you're in Louisiana, because of the hurricanes we had this summer, there was a because of the natural disaster, there was a declaration where they extended the payments. So it's kind of a one-time due to the hurricane, but that is the actual date for this year.
Someone else says, please ask Brian if the IRS will have paper forms available to order and how to best do that. Yes, we still file paper returns, LOL.
They are getting harder and harder to find because the IRS is trying to get it to go all electronic. The libraries still carry some paper forms, not very many. And you can call the IRS, 1-800-829-1040. You usually do have to wait on hold a little bit. They will send you a form where necessary.
Yeah, I remember the days you used to go to the post office.
Many of them are downloadable on the internet too. So the most current 1040 is now available on the internet, so you can download them from the internet.
You can go to irs.gov and download those forms, or call the IRS at 800-829-1040 if you really want a paper return. No longer available at post offices, but most libraries still get their hands on them, huh?
Yeah, if they don't, they'll have master forms, and you can pay for the copy is what they tend to have at the library now.
You know, although part of me, if I knew that I definitely could not itemize in a given year, part of me says it might just be easier just to do a quick paper form, because when you use a tax preparation service, you go through the whole rigmarole of determining what's better for you anyway, whether it's itemizing or taking the standard deduction. And that takes several hours. If you know you're taking the standard deduction, I don't know, maybe just fill out the paper form. It could take less time, huh?
If your tax preparer knows you, they can generally look at a prior year's return and say, hey, you haven't itemized in a few years. Has anything changed? I'm like, no, the interest is still going down. Property taxes aren't up, and I don't have any medical. I mean, that's all it takes is basically to say, okay, I don't think we're going to itemize this year. We're going to take standard, and we're moving on. So it can be a very, very that analysis is just the same one you do. And nothing's really changed. Nothing's gone up enough to allow me to do it. If you're starting out with somebody new, certainly they are trying to ask you the right questions and get to know you so that they do the proper job. And that's just part of the interview technique.
And I know that you probably may be a little biased as a CPA and someone who does personal and business tax preparation. Talk about using a CPA versus using online software to do your tax preparation.
Well, I'll give my regards for online software. It has greatly, greatly improved over the years. And for probably the vast majority of taxpayers, if you're working, especially single job or maybe a two job household, and there's really not a lot of other things that come into the tax return, you're going to get the same results taking your time with the online software as you are going to a CPA or a tax preparer. Okay, just because the software is asking you the same questions as it goes along, and artificial intelligence and everything that's been built into it is doing a fantastic job. The benefit really comes in when you're using when you have more complications on your return. You have a small business, you have rental property, you have investments that have changed hands or property that is sold during the year or something like that.
Somebody else texts and says, I contribute 85% of my income earned to my retirement account. Trying to reduce penalties for overall the allowable income, what advice can you give me?
I don't think I'm not fully understanding that question. Go back through it.
Yeah, it says, I can contribute 85% of income earned to my retirement account, trying to reduce penalties for over the allowable income. So maybe this person doesn't fully understand. So just kind of give us the basics on contributing to your retirement accounts.
Okay. Depending on your company and where you're at, you can contribute too much to your 401k and be beyond the deduction. And typically they will come back to you and say, hey, and it's usually in January or so, hey, you over-contributed. We have to give you this money back. You have to roll it forward to another year, but you're not going to be able to deduct it for the year that you wanted to deduct it. And if you if we send it back to you, you know, it will be taxable. So you can make too high of a contribution to a 401k plan at times.
All right. So best bet is to check with your HR department or your payroll department or your benefits department, whoever it is, and find out what you can and cannot do.
Correct.
So we've been hearing a lot about changing Louisiana tax laws and going to a flat tax for your state income taxes. We know that the governor has signed these into law. There are some of the changes that have been made that are going to be going before voters in March on the ballot. What can you tell us about what we know about the changes to Louisiana tax laws for 2025?
There have been some changes. They've been passed, they've been signed by the governor, and it is a modernization of the Louisiana tax system. Louisiana is going to a flat 3% income tax with a goal of perhaps eliminating the income tax in total over the next 10 years. Okay. And, you know, anytime you especially get into the state taxes, it's how is it paid for? It's going to be paid for by a slight increase in the state sales tax. The state sales tax is going to go up from 4.45% to an even 5%. So 0.55% is what it's going to go up by, and that's going to help pay for this reduction in the state income tax. We're also going to see some other benefits in the fact that they're going to raise the Louisiana standard deduction amount, and in fact, by the time you're filing your 2025 tax return, married filing jointly will be $25,000 of standard deduction. Doesn't quite match the federal return, but it is increasing significantly.
Will most taxpayers in Louisiana, you feel, notice that difference? I know there's been a lot of talk about it. It is statistically substantial. It's a big change for the state's budgeting and where the money comes to for state coffers. But will most Louisiana income taxpayers see something different in their withholding or in what they have to settle up with the state when it comes time to do that in May?
You know, going to the flat 3% isn't that different than where it's been. You know, whether you've been at 2%, 3%, or 4% going along on the individual income tax, you know, kind of picking that middle number and saying 3, I don't think that's where they'll see the big number. But looking at that standard deduction and the way they're going to raise that, I think you will see some benefit there. So, you know, if they're going to a flat 3% saves the average taxpayer, you know, $300 a year, the standard deduction is probably going to save them another $300 a year. And so then you start to line those two things up next to each other. You go, hey, I paid $600 less in Louisiana income tax. I'm happy. Now, what did it cost you in sales tax? That just depends.
Right. And if you're having it properly withheld from your check, $600 over 12 months, well, you do the math. If you get paid twice a month, then you're only talking about $25 a check, right?
Right. But as they say, it beats a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah. Well, and that's a lunch. So there you go. Two more lunches a month, I guess, is a good thing. And it does paint a picture for corporations looking on where they want to locate or where they want to expand if they're going to be in a better situation tax-wise for themselves and for their employees.
Yeah. So for Louisiana, it is a modernization of the system. It's stable revenue base. and trying to make Louisiana more attractive for both companies and individuals to relocate here. You know, we talked about the individual parts. The corporate income tax is going to fall to 5.5% from 7.5%, which will put us more on average with some of the states that surround us. And we'll probably see some benefits from that, too. But I think what I'm kind of most excited about is this, looking at the direction Louisiana has been very, very stagnant in its approach to income taxes for the last 30 years. And they're finally starting to make some of the adjustments that I think will make us competitive with the states that we're aligned with.
Brian, if people have other questions, want to get a hold of you, we need help from you on taxes, how do they do that?
They can call my office, 225-291-7011. I will tell them right now that we're not in today, given the office off for today and tomorrow to enjoy the new year, but we'll be back in after that.
225. Go ahead.
291-7011, Garrity & Associates.
Brian, thank you for joining us. Have a very happy new year, and we appreciate all the advice you're giving our listeners here on WWL.
Thank you very much, David.
I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. Time to check on WWL traffic. 9:42, glad to be in for Tommy Tucker as we wind down 2024 and look ahead to 2025. Yeah, it's December 30th already. Just a few minutes ago, we had Congressman Steve Scalise on here on WWL and talked about the Republican Party's primary objectives heading in to the new Congress, which starts on Friday as the House Majority Leader. So now we want to check in with the Senate side and are very glad to have United States Senator John Kennedy joining us here on WWL. Senator, Happy New Year and hope you had a fantastic and Merry Christmas.
I did, and same to you, Dave.
You know, we talked to Congressman Scalise a little while ago about how the Republicans have been laser-focused this time versus 8 years ago when President Trump was preparing to take office. And we saw vast divisions in the Republican Party, despite the fact that the GOP controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House. How do you hope to see things play out differently now, 8 years later, so that the Republican Party can achieve its goals in the coming days, weeks, and months?
Well, number one, Scalise is a good man. Number two, there's always going to be division in Washington, D.C., because, frankly, the whole place is full of frustrated ex-class presidents who all think they know best. The division that we'll have next year won't be any different from the division that we always have. Number three, from the Senate perspective, or I should say from my perspective, There are a bunch of issues, but the three main ones that we have to deal with in no particular order. The first one's immigration. That's the biggest difference between Democrats and Republicans today. Democrats clearly believe in open borders and Republicans don't. Of all the issues we have to deal with, that may be the easiest. And I know that sounds sort of strange, Dave, but
yeah,
all we
after
have
all the debate
do,
and everything else surrounding immigration for years and decades now, it is interesting to hear you say that may be the easiest. Why do you feel that, and what is it that the Republicans Party is going to do? You get sworn in on Friday for the new Congress. President Trump will be taking the oath of office on January 20th. What are you going to do right away that you think will be so easy to pass, and how will it change our current immigration laws?
I say it's going to be easier, not easy, but it'll be easier than the other problems, because all we have to do to stem the tide immediately is to go back and do the things that we were doing the day before President Biden took office. He undid them his very first day. And I'm talking about remain in Mexico, safe third country policy, the wall, actually empowering Border Patrol agents to do their job. Now, a permanent fix is something we'll be working on after we stem the tide of foreign nationals coming into our country illegally. That will take longer. The second thing we need to do is the cost of living. Inflation. In Louisiana, I'll come back to this, but that means the cost of insurance. The only way to get these prices down is to grow out of them. In order for prices to actually fall, we would have to go into a recession with 10 to 12% unemployment, and we don't want that. That's what China's going through right now. So we've got to grow out of it by increasing productivity and wages. And the way we're going to start doing that is by renewing the tax cuts we made back in 2017. In terms of Louisiana, obviously, our people here in Louisiana have felt the effects of inflation, but no more so than insurance. That's the single biggest problem facing Louisiana today.
And how can you legislate? How can you legislate that though, that insurance companies stop raising their rates?
The federal government can have very little impact because insurance is regulated state by state. But the longest term problem in Louisiana and the shortest term right now is we're losing people. If we keep losing people, the average age in Louisiana is going to be deceased. One of the reasons we're losing people is because people can't afford the insurance. And the legislature needs to come into a special session, spend as long as it takes. I'm not talking about 10 days, and do everything it can to address this problem. I have my own ideas about what to do, but it's not up to me. It's up to the state. The third thing we need to do is, and we're going to have to reduce our spending to do this, is to bolster our military, our defense. I don't want America to be the world's policeman, but I don't want Putin in Russia and Xi in China and the Ayatollah in Iran to be the world's policeman either. And those countries hate us, and they want to kill us, and they want to drink our blood out of a boot. And that's just reality. Now, those are the three things that I think we're going to have to, in my opinion, work on it more than others. Others are important on the first 6 months. But for Louisiana, it's inflation and it's insurance.
You know, we heard a lot of talk during the campaign about how if President Trump were reelected and the Republicans retained control of the House and won control of the Senate, that we would see this nation's economy dramatically improve. Do you feel confident that there are things that you can do in the Senate that can be done in the House that can get legislation to the president's desk that can dramatically improve our economy?
Yes. Right now, projections for growth next year for the American economy are between 2 and 2.5%. That doesn't get it. In order for us to grow wages, we're going to have at least 3% or higher GDP growth. The first thing we need to do is renew those tax cuts. If we do not renew them, that will be a $4 trillion tax increase on every American who pays taxes. And it will gut the middle class in Louisiana like a fish. Now, that's not going to be easy to do. We'll have to do it through what's called reconciliation because we won't get a single Democratic vote. But that's economically, that's the most important thing we can do. There's some other things we can do in terms of stimulating economic activity. All I know is that normal growth in America is 3%. Today, if we have 3% growth, we want to celebrate and hold a toga party. That's not, I mean, that's
toga.
Look, 3% ought to be normal. And 5,000 years of human experience has taught us that if you want to increase individual wealth, if you want to increase the wealth of a country, you can't do it by raising taxes. When you tax something, you get less of it. It's not astrophysics. And that's going to keep us busy for the first year.
All right, we're talking with Senator John Kennedy, and we got to wrap it up. But I want to ask you, are you optimistic with President Trump returning to the White House, y'all winning control of the Senate and retaining control of the House of Representatives, that the future is bright for Louisianians and for Americans?
Yes, I'm an optimist. Now, I'm an optimist who worries. I'm a paranoid optimist. It's not going to be easy, but hell yeah, it's your. The short answer to your question is yes. The long answer is hell yes. it's sure going to be better than what we could have had.
Senator, thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy man. I hope you have a very happy new year and look forward to your being sworn in once again for the next Congress of the United States, serving in the United States Senate on Friday. Y'all start your new session, and then President Trump will be sworn in on January 20th. I'm sure we'll be talking to you a whole lot along that journey.
You're a fine American, Cohen.
Thank you, sir. Happy New Year. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. We're going to see what Newell Norman's got coming up for the next 3 hours after this on WWL. Man, if you missed any of today's show, check it out on the Odyssey app. We had some great stuff. You just heard from U.S. Senator John Kennedy about what things are going to be like with the Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. He thinks there will be division. But earlier, Steve Scalise, the congressman from Metairie and the majority leader, thought there's going to be a lot more lockstep amongst the GOP now than there was 8 years ago at this time, when the fractured Republican Party could not get a lot accomplished, even though they controlled all three. We got tax advice from a former IRS agent, now CPA. We heard from Barry Kern and Debbie Bressler about the celebrations tomorrow for New Year's Eve. Mark Rosa told us what's going on with the markets. And Mike Dettillier talked to us about how he thinks the Saints need a new quarterback and a new coach to be successful in the new season. All of that available on the Odyssey app. Coming up for the next 3 hours is going to be some great programming. Newell Norman is at the casino. Hey, Newell.
Hey, Dave. How are you this morning?
Happy New Year, sir.
Same to you, my friend. We got a great show lined up. We're out here at Caesars New Orleans, and they're still bringing this place back together. It is absolutely incredible. Every time I walk in here, you see a whole new section, a whole new venue that's opened up. Very exciting. They had a record crowd last evening here. Folks are coming in, obviously, for the Sugar Bowl. This kind of momentum started before Christmas, and it seems as though it's carrying through the holiday season right up to Super Bowl.
All right, so you'll be telling us all about that and more coming up for the next 3 hours, live from Caesars New Orleans. It's hard not to call it Harrah's still, huh?
Yeah.
For so long.
I still call the Pelicans a Hornets every night.
Ah, yes, the wonders of aging. All
yes.
Right, Newell is up next here on WWL. Have a great day.